I'm sorry, I tried to find a picture because we're changing the study this week. That's why I put up the browser here. I was looking for footprints in the sand or something here. But I don't want the poem. See, now it's not even scrolling. But give me, oh, there we go. All right, I'll just do that and see if I can't get it to go full screen. Oh, boy. No, that's not what I want. Oh, man. So, I got to work on this. I will, let's see if I can copy image link. And I'll just do this, maybe if I can get it to go start. Yeah, we'll just do that for now. So, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this Sabbath day. Thank you for this week, all the trials and the tribulations, and the perfect peace that comes with it, just as you promised. So thank you for getting us ready for the latter rain, as well as the real trials and tribulations that are coming when those plagues begin, and especially during the time of Jacob's trouble. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us, healing us, physically and spiritually, everybody on the prayer list. There are many on there, Father, many that have jumped off the path, and many that are jumping on the path. And so we thank you, Father, for all the people that you have in our lives. Please bless us today with the changing of the showbread as we go into the Word. And thank you so much for your presence, as you promised each and every time we gather. And we offer this prayer and these praises unto you in the name of your Son, who is forever our King and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. So if I could get that to go bigger, that would be neat. But I don't think it's gonna. Let me just try something real quick here. I don't know. Oh, look at that. Look at that. All right. But I can't go full screen with the browser, because if I do, that happens. And so I got to leave it like that to where you can actually see the edges of the browser. And so, no, it won't even let me do it that direction. Let's try over here. Pull it down from here. There we go. It's about as good as it's going to get. So I'll turn off that one and that one. Okay. All right. As is obvious, we're having a new study this week with in the Word in regards to walking with Jesus. And so, let me just a closer walk. I think we should just put a closer walk in. Or no, I think it's with. Yeah, no, it's in. A closer walk in Jesus. I don't want to do the, thing that they all do out there with that, I don't know if I can get it to go tiny. It's not being very, nice to me. Should have done this earlier, huh? I don't see any way to change the size of the text. Okay, so that's not very good. Maybe effects. No, layout. That's goofy. And text. It does not have. It does not have a spot to where you can change the size of the text. That doesn't make any sense. Wow. It gives me. I can pick the font, but. Oh well. I'll just take that off then and leave just the footprints. I think everybody's going to understand what all that means. Okay, now it's not even letting me do that. Okay. There. Okay. Get that box out of there. Okay. No, the box came. Oh, no, it's gone. Okay. Sorry. All right. John chapter 5, verse 39. We're going to start with this. As I said, this is the beginning of a new study series that we're going to be doing on Sabbath day. A closer walk in Jesus, and we need this. I know we had a bunch of other things, like I was thinking about doing the Revelation study or the trumpet study or even the bowls or whatever, but after much prayer This is what the Lord moved my heart to go for, and so I think we'll be here for a while. I don't know. It might not take a couple of years like the other one did, a little over a couple of years, and so we'll see where the Lord leads us in all this. All right, so John chapter 5, verse 39. It says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And so in this passage, we clearly see Jesus is declaring that all the Bible is in fact about him. And in the coming months and years, we're going to look into as much as we can about Jesus Christ as he is found in the Bible, you know, Old and New Testament, you know, not just the New. In so doing, we will most assuredly gain a closer walk of Jesus. I mean, that's just how it works. You study the scriptures daily, you will get a closer walk in Christ, and when you get that closer walk, he opens things up to you. Not just doctrine, but prophetic as well. You get to see things other people just simply cannot see. You'll see, like, when people that you have known for years that do see as you see, and all of a sudden stop reading their Bibles, and then all of a sudden they cannot see it anymore. And that's the Hebrews chapter 6 kind of people, where they that's the permanent backsliding, where if they don't get out of that, they'll end up reprobate, and then, of course, die in their sins. And so, sadly, this is also what confuses me about the Jewish people, in that they also have the Old Testament Bible in regards to all that it says about Jesus Christ. So, praise the Lord that 2,000 years ago, many did accept him as Lord and Savior, but sadly, most of them didn't. And in today's world, the exact same thing is happening with the Christians. And so you can see the attack on the Christian faith, and how Satan designed it to where, you know, there's so many different denominations out there where they actually, you know, it's like Isaiah chapter 4 type of people. They just think they're Christians, and they really aren't. They don't even have any clue, because they don't study the scriptures. They read it, and quickly, you know, or whatever. I mean, they don't really study it. So just as we saw 2,000 years ago, most people today still ignore the word of the greatest teacher that ever walked this earth, so as to rely, in other words, they don't rely on him, they rely on the human beings, you know, the wolves on the pulpit, to give them the help and comfort that they seek. They do this because unless you meet Jesus Christ and experience the peace he promised to give to all of his people, you have no choice but to seek out a preacher or a person that you might believe is a Christian, you know. You seek them out for words of comfort. And this is why we see over 44,000 different denominations out there, thanks to Rome and Satan working together as one since 538 AD, you know, when the Catholic Church destroyed Christianity, well, didn't destroy Christianity, but mixed paganism with Christianity. And then, of course, we saw after the 1,260 years, you got what, you know, Napoleon helped to bring about, and of course Luther and all that other stuff were the people that actually started, you know, opening up their Bibles. But still, there was a lot of Catholicism mixed in because of the way Satan designed the church, especially when it comes to cathedrals and or even big meeting places. I mean, the church is started in the people's homes for a reason that helps to prevent infiltration, as well as you know, it doesn't overwhelm the pastor. You know, because you can't effectively pastor, you know, like some of these people have 20,000, 30,000 seats, and like Joel Osteen. There's no way he can pastor all those people. It's impossible. You just can't do it. And so the way it was designed, as soon as the home church got too large, it would split, and then someone else would be ordained to start pastoring on the other side of town with that little home church that just, you know, in other words, let's say you have 100 families, and all of a sudden, bam, now you only got 50. And then those two start to grow again, and then there's another split, and that's how Christianity spreads. So looking at the churches, we see the leaders in the churches saying to, like today, they're saying to stay with the church, even though they and their own members know it's all in apostasy. And it's not just the SDAs. They're all in apostasy. You know, I mean, the reason we bring up the SDAs a lot is because they are, or were at one time, the true Protestant. When you look at the other churches that claim to be Protestant, you know, that's just a lie from Satan. They're not Protestant at all. They do Christmas, Sunday keeping, Easter, all of it, you know. They even drink and eat unclean foods, and they see nothing wrong with it, but yet they're all dropping dead of cancer and all sorts of other diseases, and for some odd reason they can't figure that out. So, but because they're leaders who claim to you know, really have they claim to have an understanding, but they really have no understanding of the word. They tell them, you know, the people when they come to them, they tell them to stay in the fallen church, and there are many excuses offered as to why they do so are designed to calm the hearts of the people, who then, you know, choose to stay in a fallen church. You know, just as the people that denied Jesus Christ was Messiah 2,000 years ago, they obeyed the Jewish leaders. And you remember what Jesus said in John chapter 6? This is around that strange verse that actually has the three sixes in it, that talks about how the people said it was a hard saying, they couldn't believe it anymore, what he was saying, because he said in John 6, verse 56, he said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." As students of the Bible, we know that he means we need to embrace his word and eat it up in study, just as Jeremiah said he did in Jeremiah 15:16, when Jeremiah the prophet said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by the Lord, by the name of the Lord God of hosts." And when studied like this, the Lord reveals things to us that help us avoid spiritual dangers that lead to damnation. It also allows us to be ready for what was prophesied. And did you notice the great disappointment that was prophesied in Revelation was brought into view by much study? For it was shown to John in vision in Revelation 10, verses 9 to 11, the following. Okay, there was a reason the Lord allowed it to go down that way, just like what's happening in the church of the Lord, you know, the remnant church right now, where the Lord allows a shaking so as to get people to open up their Bibles and start really looking at what's going on here. Because a lot of people miss it. If you don't study, you can't see the prophetic events that are going down. But verses 9 to 11 says, "And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up." So there again, study it up, eat it up. "And it shall make thy belly bitter, but shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it up, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." So after the obedient people of God studied up the word of God, we know was actually the pioneered. They were all pioneered by William Miller at this time in the United States. They were all over the planet, of course, because this was the midnight cry. And the final church, when they go forth in the loud cry, is going to be structured in the exact same way the people were in the midnight cry. In other words, there was no denomination. They were just people of God, obedient people of God that were being led by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And so that's how we're going to go forth. And so, but that's how the way we are now anyway. We have no president. We have no pope. We have no first of equals. We don't have a church structure, a hierarchical structure like the SDAs or the Catholics do. We don't do that because that's paganism. We don't embrace that. That uplifts mankind. It doesn't uplift the creator of mankind. If they want to worship the creature over and above the creator, that's prophesied to be their lot in life and death. But the remnant people of God won't do that. And so these people were pioneered by William Miller in the States and in other areas of the world. And they came across many prophetic truths in regards to the sanctuary, but so as to better discover who was serious about their faith during this time and who was simply joining the crowd out of fear of hellfire, because there's a lot of people that do that to this day, up until the time, you know, you can't buy and sell, or they start rolling guillotines out, because a lot of people will, you know, jump into a Christian church out of fear, like after September 11th. A lot of people started going into the churches because they got scared, or even during this planned demic, when everybody knows it's just a setup to where soon it won't be called COVID, it'll be called climate change. Everything that they're setting up in the COVID thing is going to be used to enforce the mark. No one seems to be getting that because no one's reading their Bibles. Well, not Noah. I mean, we understand this, but you know what I mean. And so the Lord allowed a portion of the prophetic definition regarding the sanctuary to be hidden from them for a purpose, which is pretty neat when you think about this. They thought it meant the earth, you know, the sanctuary, the cleansing of the sanctuary. They thought it meant the second coming. But after, obviously, on October 23rd, 1844, when Jesus didn't come back, they found it really spoke of the heavenly sanctuary. And yes, that is why the angel told John in his mouth the eating of the book would be sweet, because studying and finding that the return of Jesus Christ was near was exciting to those that loved him back then. It was sweet as honey in the mouth to proclaim something like that. The reason it was prophesied here that after eating their belly would be bitter is because when the date they set for the second coming failed, which was a no-no, we all know that, you can't set dates, and no, this wasn't SDA people, these were the Millerites, okay? And so they set, you know, they set a second coming, it failed. They were quite sad about it. Their belly was bitter, but it worked. It literally worked the way the Lord designed it to work. The serious Christians went back into their Bibles and studied them up, ate them up. And those seeking only to escape hellfire, oh, they went back to their old worldly ways with a big old sigh of relief, thinking, oh, great, he didn't come back yet. And they went back to their lives and said, you know, that, you know, this obviously was all wrong. We were wrong. He ain't coming back anytime soon. And so they just went back into sin. And yes, we have seen this happen many times in our day. Each time the church is attacked by false prophets hoping to preach new light, the serious people of God always go back into study and find the truth. But those proclaiming the false light, because you know they get very, very agitated because they're outed as being false prophets, they get very agitated and hateful against us, and then they, of course, attack. We've seen this happen many times over the years. For those that have been in the SDR Church, Seventh-day Remnant Church, that is, has seen this happen many times over the last 26 years. And so press on, brothers and sisters, it ain't ending here. But getting back to the great disappointment, to this day, many people like to slam the Millerites as false prophets, when the fact is, even though they got the date right about the 2300-year prophecy, like the Jews who did the same thing 2,000 years earlier, they got the date right for the, but they got the event wrong. They got the date right for the arrival of Messiah back then 2,000 years ago, but they thought that he would end Roman rule. No, the event was wrong. That happens at the end of the world. He destroys all the nations when that stone comes out of the sky and hits those 10 toes. That happens at the end of the world. So they got the date right, but the event wrong. Same thing in 1844. They got the date right and the event wrong. You know, because and by the way, that was the last time a date was ever given. You know, because that's, you know, just the way the prophecy stated, at the end of the 2300 years, time shall be no longer. In other words, we know what's going to happen next, we just don't know when. And so though they got the date right, like the Jews, they got everything else wrong. So the amazing thing is, it was prophesied. Now, here's the thing. The people slam them left and right, the Millerites. They slam them saying, oh, look at that, you set a date, you bunch of idiots, right? And so it was prophesied they would actually make that mistake, which also means they truly were the true children of God, because it was prophesied clearly that only God's obedient people would be the ones that make this mistake, so as to push forth the stronger Christians of the day that eventually brought on the ninth hour movement that we know today to be the start of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's how it came about. A lot of the people that were in the SDA Church that when it started were Millerites. They went from that, and they all knew the mistake about setting dates, you know, but they also knew it was prophesied they would set that date. They understood Revelation. The lost like to hang their hat on that mistake without realizing that it actually vindicates Miller and all those that studied with him, while at the same time proves all the other false faiths that have set dates are in fact false prophets, like Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, who have literally set over a dozen dates since 1914 and continue to do so to this day. How they keep getting members into that church is beyond me. But then again, if you don't study your Bible, yeah, it's a swinging door. And so none of which they declare was prophesied to happen, unless, of course, you count that which is said about false prophets, because they're a pack of wolves. It's just how all they are. You know, the leaders. I'm not slamming the people. You know, I always go after the leaders because they're the ones that like to snarl, and they're the ones that are wolves. And so, like some are doing today, the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that when Jesus returned in 1914, check this out. I just, you know, I did a little bit of an expose years ago on Fire Talk when I first started preaching online. And I went back into my notes and I found that, yeah, the Jehovah's Witnesses taught Jesus returned in 1914, but he remained invisible for the most part. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like something we've heard recently for someone? I mean, it's rather convenient for them, I would say, though. But the reason I shared all that is because of what Jesus said in John 5:39 at the start of the study. If you read the Bible and truly study it, and not just surface read it as most do, because think about, you know, building a foundation for your house. Do you set the house on the planet? No. You dig down to the bedrock to set a foundation. You got to do the same thing with the Bible. You can't just surface read it. You got to dig down and get those pearls. And so the Bible, if you read the Bible and truly study it and not just surface read it, as most do, the Lord's going to grant you the wisdom to see things the world simply can't see. And with that wisdom, you could easily avoid those many pitfalls of the day. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, check this out. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. You know, he dug and got to the bedrock, right? And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the beat upon the house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. You know, surface reading Bibles, right? Not digging into them. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I mean, I'm just going to go over I'm just going to share the prophetic symbols here without going into any detail because of time restraints, but of course, the rain is the former rain. The flood is everything from persecution to latter rain, because we all know how truth causes us to be hated, and we know about the many peoples, nations, and tongues that many waters will step into. But that is, of course, with the flooding in it. But then, of course, the wind is doctrine. The rock, obviously, is Christ. The sand is unstable, worldly people. And, of course, that house is salvation or damnation, depending upon the foundation. If it's on sand, it's damnation. If it's upon rock, it's salvation. So these symbols apply to the believers and the wicked of 2,000 years ago when the former rain fell, as well as the believers and the wicked of our day when the latter rain is about to fall. Because, as we all know, you cannot receive the latter rain unless you already have the former rain. When you go forth, hence, the, you know, like the 10 foolish virgins, they all had oil, but some of them did not have enough, as we know. So when we go forth in the loud cry with the refreshing upon us, the truth we proclaim will move many to repentance and no doubt many to anger as well. But praise the Lord that when a believer receives the truth from on high, they are blessed with salvation and therefore they will stand firm due to their strong foundation in Christ. However, when the wicked are given the truth from on high, for the rain falls on the wicked as well as the just. We know what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, right? So, Matthew chapter 5, well, 6 and 7, but he said that in 5. The truth in this case angers the lost because their house, which we know represents salvation, is built on sand, you know, worldliness, which are also the lies of men via the false prophets and the wolves, you know, the fake pastors, or simply the opinions of others and not on Christ. You know, a lot of people just, you know, find Christianity on the street and run with it that far, and that's about it. You know, they get all sorts of crazy ideas, and so their house falls into damnation. But those of us that daily partake in this very palatable banquet of Bible study, we're going to gain truth in ways we never even contemplated beforehand. Not only are we going to have a closer walk with Jesus, we will, like the Bereans of old, be perfectly able to know the difference between a wolf from a man of God when we see one. And why is that? Well, after Paul was sent to Berea, and when speaking of the people he met there, he said in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, that these, Acts 17:11, he says, these, you know, the people, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Sure, they embraced it, but they still didn't trust the man. They go after the creator, not the creature. See, that's the problem. A lot of people, like you see some of these videos out there where these false prophets making all these crazy claims and people are giving them thumbs up and all these people are watching them. They're not searching scriptures daily at all. whether those things are so. If they did, they'd be putting thumbs downs on those videos. And so when the Christian church was forming, many of the Jews, and I'm talking about those that desire to know the real truth, these obedient Jews, these obedient people, would hear, whenever they would hear what the Christian preachers had to say, they would literally go into a study and verify the new light they were offering up all over the place. I mean, the stuff was coming all over the place because there was the apostles, there was 12 of them out there preaching it, right? So when the Christian church started, they did this, you know, they studied it up to make sure it didn't contradict the old light they already embraced. Seriously, when you hear somebody out there saying this is what it's like, when years prior they didn't even preach in that way, and all of a sudden they got this new light, you better dig into your Bibles and find out what's going on, because we are very close to the end. The Pope wants his one world government by 2030, and he also wants the climate change agenda, which we know he's going to use to enforce the mark. And that's why you see the COVID stuff. Everything's being set up so that they can just change it from COVID to climate change. He wants that climate change by 2027. He stated that in writing. And so studying your Bible on a daily basis helps all of us, from the babe to the elder, receive what we need to fight off all these little darts of deception being thrown around all over the place out there. There's wolves. I mean, there's a pack of wolves out there all over the place. So just look around. And you'll see the people that believe all sorts of lies, from false doctrines like Sunday Sabbath to false prophecies like secret rapture to lies like COVID-19 is killing people as an epidemic, when the amount of people killed are not only puffed up, as many sources confirmed, and now we just found out they got caught doing it in the UK. The U.S. has been caught 5 or 6 times adding to the numbers with fake deaths. That's why you see some of these comics, political cartoons where they say something to the effect that some guy jumps off like he's a free diver, right? He jumps off a cliff and they're going to, you know, open your parachute and you're going to float down and goof around, right? But it says the guy jumps off the cliff, forgets his parachute, and he literally dies of COVID-19. Nothing about, you know, how he fell to his death. I mean, obviously they didn't diagnose anybody like that. It's just how ridiculous some of the excuses were for people dying of COVID, and they didn't have anything nowhere near it. And so now it's happening in other nations. And so those exaggerated numbers are, it's still, even with the exaggerated numbers, I was talking about this last night, we got 300 million in USA. To reach pandemic level, you got to have around 25 to 28 million dead or dying. 28 to 30, you know, dead or dying. Million. But only 150,000. And those numbers are greatly exaggerated. But yet they yell pandemic, which is country to country. Because they know they can't even yell epidemic because they're nowhere near it. But they're nowhere near pandemic either. It's just Satan, because the timing was perfect. How many people out there embrace Hollywood movies? Call actors gods. Get into lies. I mean, we're in the age of lying. I've been saying that for decades. And so to throw another lie out there that everybody knows is a lie, for the most part, they're going to believe it anyway, because think about that. A month or two before, actually years, you know, ever since 2016 when the media went nuts, everybody says, yeah, we don't believe anything that the media has to say at all. Now they're all believing it, even though there's all sorts of evidence to prove they're lying. We are in the last days. And all of us, especially those of us that have been in the truth for decades, we have seen some bright lights go out simply because they stopped studying the Word of God each day. I cannot stress this point any stronger, brothers and sisters. Unless you study the Word of God each day, you're going to be caught off guard. I mean, to the point where, you know, you're just going to all of a sudden stop being Christian. I mean, and yes, you can study Spirit of Prophecy as well and make sure the books you have are not edited, and they are an extra study that does not take away from your daily Bible study. But some people, that's all they do, is they study Spirit of Prophecy. You're only getting 40% of the truth there. And 90% of them out there don't even know they're reading books that have been changed. Just by looking at their new light, you can see, no, that was never stated in Spirit of Prophecy. But they state it as if it's gospel. So, you don't have to be a theologian to escape the dangers that are coming. You don't. When you start getting serious about studying the Word of God, and no matter how much you can or cannot understand right off, the Lord's going to prevent people from coming to you with strange doctrines you don't have the wisdom to combat in this holy war you're in. I've seen it happen many times. Theologians didn't start getting all up in my face until decades after I started reading the scriptures. But the Lord is going to only do that after he reads. He's only going to protect you, is what I mean. He's only going to, you know, protect you from the darts of, you know, notice they aren't spears or javelins or nuclear warheads that Satan throws. They're darts. They're little dinky things. He's looking for a toehold to get you so that he can work up from there. And so the Lord's not only going to protect you from that, he reads your heart and he sees that you really are very serious about learning what his Bible says. And so he knows this child is really chewing on this. He's eating it up or she's eating it up. And so that's a child of God that's not going to have anything to worry about in the coming days. Because the plagues, that's all on the wicked. That's on them. That's not on us. And so Satan's time to deceive is running out. We all need to have the full armor of God upon us to be able to withstand these attacks. And we need to have that two-edged sword in hand to fight with. And what is the two-edged sword? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Is the answer, the definition to the two-edged sword in prophecy. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's pretty intense. That's deep. And why two edges? Well, you got Old Testament, New Testament. And when John saw in vision at the start of Revelation, he was blessed to receive. He said this in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. Check this out. When he saw Jesus. Okay? Notice, because wasn't Jesus the greatest teacher that ever and still does live? John said in Revelation 1, 16, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun that shineth in its strength. And so, yeah, this is why some of us, you know, that get dreams. Some of the dreams are really strange, you know, like could you imagine? Because John's in vision, he's seeing, you know, Jesus standing there, and there's a sword coming out of his mouth. In a dream, that just looks normal, right? We've all had these kind of weird dreams, you know, and so it just looks normal. It's absolutely understood that, yeah, that's supposed to be. He's got a sword sticking out of his mouth. Okay, what's next? You know, it's just normal in a dream. But then when you wake up and you think, well, that was strange. So you look it up and you find out that it's coming out of his mouth, and two-edged sword means Old Testament, New Testament, which means he's going to preach truth. So in closing, we all need to remember this before we go into battle. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We need to remember this. I'm just going to read verses 4 to 8. And this can't be preached in these Sunday-keeping churches. This can't be preached in the SDA church. This, because they're saying, oh, there's no Sunday laws in the pipeline. On camera, the president of the Seventh-day Adventist church literally stated on camera, there are no Sunday laws in the pipeline. And then when somebody else approached him, a brother in the faith that sent me the video, but I couldn't really use it because of the way... he caught Ted Wilson off guard when he asked the question. And Ted Wilson lied at first, really quickly, and then realized he said a lie, and then changed what he was saying, you know, in regards to, I think it was a question about Sunday laws or something. But I still have it on my computer. I never used it because it was, he was kind of like doing the going through the crowd reporter kind of a thing, and he used a handheld, I think he recorded it with his cell phone maybe. But this is what it said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 48. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Stopping there is a verse you'll never hear in a Sunday-keeping church, because the people are going to go, whoa, hold on a second there, Pastor. How come we're not in darkness that day is overcome as a thief? Because the previous verses say that Jesus Christ comes as a thief in the night. How come it says that we're not going to be in darkness? And the pastor will say, well, it's because you understand prophecy. That's why you're not in darkness. That day can't overtake you as a thief. And he says, but wait a second, Pastor, you never teach prophecy. We don't never study it. So that's why they don't say it. They don't say that verse. They stop at that verse. They always stop at verse 3. So anyway, spiritual darkness, amen. And then verse 5, and going on, it says, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And how do you watch and be sober? Well, stay in the scripture. Sober is obvious, you know, clear-minded. you watch. This is what I love about doing my updates. I used to do them daily, and I still kind of do, but I don't. I post them on the blog 3 times a week. And I like doing that because it allows me to see what's going on in the world as it relates to what it goes on, what the prophecy said is going to be going on. So that allows me to watch and be sober. And I just love it. I'm never at a loss for something to share. But lately, with all the situations that have been going on, I'm a little bit behind on the blog, but that's okay. So verse 7 says, "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober." Because, now what's another way? He's not talking about just drinking alcohol, because that's bad enough. You shouldn't be doing that. That defiles the body. Even Daniel the prophet was told by Christ, yeah, don't drink that. It'll defile your body. Because remember when they put that stuff in front of him, the king's meat and the king's wine? He says, no, I can't defile my body. And then Jesus made new wine at the wedding at Cana. But there's another way to be drunken. False doctrine is being drunken. Spiritual drunkenness. That's false doctrine. And so anyway, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Hope and pray you'll be blessed. Be back in a minute.